You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our show, we're talking with Alejandro Zairopolo. He's a contemporary architect and founder of the London and New York-based AZPML. He's the former dean of the School of Architecture at Princeton University and a prolific theorist, widely published. Alejandro, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for your interest.
So I'd like to begin with your current projects. I'd like to explore how they're developed, essentially. What is it that you're involved in now, or what's occupying your thinking in terms of the most recent project?
Well, we are involved in a wide variety of projects range from a single family house to the central train station of Birmingham in the UK. I can maybe tell you a few other projects that we are doing. We are currently involved in the redevelopment of the Biodome in Montreal. We are designing the headquarters of the film festival in Locarno, Switzerland. We are doing a couple of buildings for Weifang University in Weifang, China. What else are we doing? We are doing a foundation, a cultural foundation in Spain, the Fundación Cerezales. So we are actually a firm that is more focused on a certain approach rather than a certain speciality in terms of being able to do office buildings or housing or hospitals. We don't like the specializations. I forgot to mention we are also involved in doing a very large tower in Vienna for offices, which is probably one of the most important projects in terms of scale. But we are a company that takes pride in having an approach that tries to extract out of the specific conditions of the projects the maximum potential in terms of architectural potential, let's say. And that's why we refuse to specialize in a certain typology.
So let's talk about the approach. I'd like to talk about the single family house you're working on, if you don't mind. In talking about the approach your company has, I'm interested in two angles. I'm interested in the theoretical approach to the house, but also the practical, how sketches actually begin, how you begin to formulate the basic structure as an artist. But we could talk about theory first, if you like, on that single family house, or the actual sketches and structure and how that begins to form.
Well, if we talk about, obviously, we don't have a specialization, but right now we are quite interested in a number of issues, and some of these projects could be grouped in depending on whether they are adequate to explore these issues. A number of projects are related to the environment, both in terms of the use of certain materials, for example, as carbon traps, or the performance of the buildings in order to optimize environmental performance, or there is one stream of work that relates to the development of this type of more or less technical strategies to improve the environmental performance. Other areas of research, and you are talking about the house, have to do perhaps with the consideration of what we call the global rural, which is a concept that we are working on recently and tries to explore the design of buildings that are located in rural enclaves as part of a global process. So the vernacular or the rural was traditionally the location of all the research in local specificity, and in a way we are quite interested in exploring the rural as an archetypical condition that repeats all over the world in more or less similar ways, and in a way the home that we are that we are doing is an exploration of that. It's a home for a rather unusual client in the south of Spain, a place called Soto Grande, which is a kind of important, expensive resort area close to Gibraltar, and our client wanted a home that was quite special in the sense that he wanted a home that would be almost camouflaged in the landscape, and so we set out to do a project that was working with vaults, like almost earth vaults, which is a type of construction that is quite common and effective in the area in the north of Africa, and we designed the house as a series of spheres that are intersecting and forming some sort of little cluster of spheres of different scales on the landscape, and this is a type of approach, almost like formal or structural approach, that we are developing across a number of other projects in rural locations, like the Fundación Cerezales, also in Spain, in León, or recent projects like the competition we did recently for the Arvo Part Foundation in Tallinn, Estonia, where we take a traditional construction technology in the area, which is effective for a number of reasons. For example, in the south of Spain, to make vaults of earth is good to preserve the cove inside of the home. But in the case of the Cerezales Foundation, we are using a series of pitch roof barns, almost attached to each other, built entirely in wood. But so the idea is that we select a certain type of structure and we construct a whole by adding variations of that same structure, very much in the way in which, for example, traditional villages used to grow as a certain pattern around the use of a number of technologies.
Right. You mean the way barns would be added to, houses would be added to, and they would change in, I guess I'm talking in the 40s, 50s kind of American rural architecture, the way they would, the additions would change depending on what was available at the time?
I think it is a type of of approach that is very common very common in almost in all traditional forms of architecture, because they depart from a set of almost like a kit of parts that are available in a certain location that perform adequately in respect to a certain climatic condition or environmental condition, and therefore they become generalized. So you wouldn't think in building a home in the suburbs in the U.S. in the 30s, let's say, when and build it in stone. There were obviously some of them, but most of them were built in wood because that was the most economic material and the most efficient material in terms of building. And most of them had pitch roofs because it was difficult to waterproof flat roofs using wooden technology. So in a way, there are certain forms that are a direct reaction to the availability of technologies or materials, but also to the climate where architecture was happening, and so that was the way in which traditionally buildings were built, almost before architects appeared and had to almost invent architecture in every occasion. It doesn't mean that we are not inventing to a certain degree, but we are using some of these technologies in order to base our design in this research stream that has to do with what we call the global rural. And as you say, maybe one of the advantages that this approach has is that it is a very flexible approach. Like in traditional farms, when you had to build or homes also, when you had to build an extension, you would use the same technology and just build the extension, and it will more or less work well because it will be part of the same technology. So we are trying to make this aggregation of cells that utilize construction systems that are optimized to a certain location as a kind of approach to a series of projects that we are doing. We sometimes we call it a kind of neo-structuralist approach, in respect to some of the architecture that was built by people like Aldo van Eyck or Herman Herzberger in the 60s and the 70s.
And when you talk of earlier in this conversation about a rural approach to vernacular for a rural approach, now in the arts we hear more about that, and at least in the United States and I think also in Europe, as artists tend to move outside of cities, we find interesting curatorial projects in rural areas or some suburban areas. How do you see these kind of rural areas developing in the traditional art world? Artists tend to move outward into areas that are more affordable, and now we're finding significant curatorial programs that are avant-garde even in rural areas. Does the rural vernacular that you're speaking of move into the future or have
I mean, this is an interesting discussion for us, because actually all of the projects that we are doing in this respect have to do with the location of cultural institutions or culturally minded individuals. In the case of our commissioner in Soto Grande, to do these buildings. I don't know whether we can say there is a kind of global trend, because one can also say that in Asia the trend is reversed and most people are moving to the cities. But we are simply sensitive to the fact that the rural milieu, which used to be a milieu where the inhabitants were usually isolated, removed from cultural initiatives, is now being colonized by the city. The footprint of the global city is expanding beyond the borders of the physical urban limit and moving into the countryside. And I mean, this is not a new phenomenon. It has happened in the past. England has many examples of that already for many years, and I think America too. The interesting thing is that we are finding that, for example, in the Cerezales Foundation, which is exactly the case of what you are describing in Spain, in a place called León, a wealthy individual who is actually the owner of the Modelo group, the beer group, Coronitas, who is original from this village, which is a village that is about 30 miles away from the nearest airport, and that airport has probably 3 flights a day. I mean, it is really remote. But because it is the village from this individual, he has located a very interesting institution, a very interesting foundation there, which does all kinds of things. It keeps animals, for example. It keeps organic seeds. It also records the elderly people who were still educated in some sort of non-written tradition through an oral tradition. They are recording them to keep a record of this wisdom that was transferred in a non-written form. They obviously promote music, rural music, but not only from the location. The institution has very clear international ambitions and wants to and brings artists like Richard Serra, for example, to that place to make installations, but many other international people and many other experiments from other rural locations are being exhibited and discussed there. And so in a way, it is a great opportunity to be involved in the design of this and the construction of this foundation, which we are now in the process of building and will be finished probably by September, hopefully by September, because it has, in a way, given us the opportunity to think about the way in which we should look at the rural locations today, and by extension, now that I am a resident of the American suburb, also to the suburban locations, which are also, I believe, an interesting case in the light of the new environmental technologies and the new environmental concerns that we are now increasingly aware of.
Yes, and it's fascinating, and I'd love to see that foundation. Of course, when it's done, it sounds like they're doing a really wonderful, truly cultural project and vision. Lastly, I'd like to ask you a little bit about how a sketch begins. A company like yours, we think of as teams of artists, architects, working, drawing. When you begin a project like the house you're working on or anything else, does it begin with a sketch, and are you hand sketching? Is that how projects begin?
No, I mean we use hand sketches, but this idea of the Frank Lloyd Wright architect who starts sketching a wonderful vision and then that becomes a building, I believe is very obsolete today. I would like to say that the first material of the project is always the client. So it is very important to have a client that is sophisticated and intelligent. I don't think that any architect can do architecture without a good client. There is a certain complicity that you need to have with your commissioner that goes beyond the budget or other things. For example, the foundation is not a very expensive building or the house. None of these two projects are a very expensive building. That doesn't really detract from the possibility of making good architecture. If you have that clearly stated at the beginning and you are also able to discuss with your client the fact that having less resources, for example, may suggest that you need to address the project in a certain way. So the client is before the sketch is the commission, is obviously the site. It's very difficult to work in Vienna, where we are now designing a tower, than to work in Tallinn. In the middle of the countryside, so I think that this idea of you still could have the client on the site and go to the site, look at it, and have a kind of vision and draw something, and then give it to your collaborators to develop. But that is I think. It's just not the way it happens. Maybe it happens in some cases. It certainly doesn't happen like that in our office, where the issues are discussed. There is serious technical research done on, for example, building construction systems. There are several iterations of diagrams of organization of the program and the massing that are explored. And so it's about slowly introducing different layers of information into the project that will slowly crystallize into an architectural proposal, and I think that's where probably in a kind of later phase of the project where the architect the architecture begins. I don't think that the architecture precedes everything like in the Fountainhead model. So it's not as if I'm an architect, I know how things have to be done. This is how they have to be done. Go and do them. Is now very different. You need to perhaps sometimes even talk to suppliers because you are interested in exploring. For example, in the Ceresales Foundation, we have used a system which is carbon zero, uses ground source heating and biomass boiler in order to neutralize the carbon emissions of the building, and the building is entirely built in wood, including the material that insulates the walls, which are very, very thick but very light, made out of wood fiber. So everything is made in wood, including the insulation. So the only way we could do that building and achieve the very high standards that the client wanted us to to have in terms of environmental performance was by talking first to several fabricators, understanding what it was available in order to deliver that type of performance. And after, only after doing that, and also thinking about archetypes of the rural, because obviously the building needed to be visually loaded with a certain iconography that spoke about this kind of rural condition. After considering all these different inputs, architecture appears, and so it appears last, not first. I think that because if it appears last, it is not driven by styles. It is not predictable. It is specific to the constraints, budgetary and political and climatic constraints that every architectural project has. In some ways, I find this very pleasurable, because it means that I am learning. As I'm doing a project, I'm learning new things. I'm not just repeating a recipe or a style that people associate to our firm. I think that was maybe a phenomenon of the of the 80s and perhaps the 90s. I think that now what we notice is that more and more clients have ceased to be interested in this idea of the signature architect, and are more interested in exploring with us the potentials of their specificity, or the specificity of their projects.
Alejandro, thank you so much for talking with us today. It's really been a pleasure, and look forward to seeing so much of what you've talked about and perhaps visiting them. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your interest, and it has been a pleasure.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.